World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Can I brag a little bit here as we get launched here this morning? Can I brag a little bit? It's actually not bragging. I had a guy tell me one time, if you can do it, you ain't bragging. So I don't mean to brag, but man, the last few, there's been a powerful teaching anointing on me the last, I don't know, month or so. I don't know if you guys picked up on it or not. Because it's just, it's my gift. It's one of my gifts. Teaching is one of my gifts. And man, it's just been, God, been flowing out of me. And I got some great stuff today. And I was talking to the crew here before we, Lord, let the words of our lips and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight today. In Jesus' name, amen. And I have focused in more than ever. I got some stuff there. I got some earth-shaking stuff. Come on now. And it goes back to this. Same question I always ask at Coach Dave Live. Who told you that and why do you believe it? Who told you that? And why do you believe him? And if somebody lies to you, how long do you not trust them? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me, right? And agendas, good versus evil, right versus wrong. Do we really understand? Do we really, really understand that in every aspect of our lives, the enemy works? The truth against falsehood in every area of our lives. Do we understand that? Do we understand that there are people literally in Washington, D.C.? I was watching some of them yesterday in some Senate hearings. They actually believe lies. It's not just an agenda. They actually believe stupid lies. They actually believe that a woman can be a man. They actually believe that. Why? Because they're deluded. Satan is the great deluder. In fact, did you know there used to be Spencer, I'm going to send you $5 if you can find this one. Google the old, what they call it? The old deluder Satan act. Did you guys know that? Did you know that was part of American history? The old Satan deluder. I think that it's written something like that. There it is. Look at this guy, huh? Massachusetts founded the old deluder Satan law. Did you guys know that? When would that be? 1647. They passed a law, the old Satan deluder act, the old deluder Satan act. Wow, because Satan is a deluder. Spencer, that'd be a good one. What's a deluder? What does Webster say a deluder is? One who deceives. And I'm going to tell you this. There in any aspect in your life where the devil, Satan, isn't constantly lying to you, trying to delude you, to get you off. In fact, we call that what? Mind games? Playing mind games? And you think about yourself. The Bible says to take captive every thought. There's somehow, we haven't figured it out yet. I haven't figured it out yet. How does the devil, and there is one, how does the old deluder Satan plant thoughts? How does he do that? Or is that just part of our carnal nature to have thoughts in our head? I don't know. I really don't know that process. Let me show you this. This is a little bit, I'm behind. I don't even have it up on the screen here. This is a little bit different. Spencer, pull up. I'm sorry. Let me get this thing going here. Coach Dave, you're behind the agenda here. Pull this up because this is so true. Spencer, where is it? No. Oh, hang on. That's not it. Oh my goodness, why can't I find it? Maybe I sent it someplace else. Bear with me a second. Why do you believe what you believe? Who told you that? And why do we believe it? Who told you that and why do we believe it? I got a great clip of two. Come on, Lord, where is that? No, that's not it. That's not it. No, I'll find it. Who told you that and why do you believe it? That's where I'm going. I know I'm sounding repetitive here, but I say often, we don't believe in the supernatural anymore. We don't believe in the supernatural. I was watching some of those fools, our representatives in Washington, D.C. Some of the arguments they make are 100% foolishness. And yet, we give them credibility. We listen to what they say, and it is absolutely foolishness against Scripture. In Scripture. Okay? Here's where I want to go today. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. So what are you doing, Coach? I'm looking. Pull up number eight. History and prehistory. Hey, somebody out there smarter than me, how far back does the recorded history go? Does anybody know how far back that would be? Because there's a scale up at the top here. Scale. They're going to watch this, right? And now let's take Ray LeBlanc and stick Ray LeBlanc back. Let's just be nice here, Ray. Let's just go back 600 years, okay? So let's take you, what is today? It's 2000. So that would be 14. Let's take you back, Ray, to 1492. You're on the boat with the pilgrims. Well, they sailed the ocean blue 1490. By the way, when they sailed the ocean blue in 1492, they already left a civilization, did they not? Didn't they flee? Somebody help me out here. Didn't they flee England? And wasn't England an already established kingdom? Call it whatever you want to. Right? England was already there. And they fled England. By the way, very little communication. Hardly no written record. We had the fossil record, whatever the fossil record might be. And then we had experts come along and look at the fossil record and told us history. And they put it in our history books. And they give us today a history. Are you looking at me? They're giving us today a godless history, a history without God. You can go to school in America from kindergarten to a PhD and beyond and never have any knowledge of biblical history. Not that biblical history matters, but that was the foundation of all civilization, was the Bible. And you can graduate from college and be a doctor like Dr. Paul Gosselin and believe a man can be a woman. How does that happen, folks? How in the hell does that happen that we get to that position? Well, because it's the old deluder Satan act, see. And now we live in a country and in a world where the Bible has become, you're not allowed to talk about the Bible because that's religion. That's religion. We're going to talk to the history. We're going to do history. So I just want to play a little bit of this clip. This is pretty fascinating. Now notice at the top on your screen, it shows you a Neanderthal skull. All right? And then you notice the timeline, 200,000 before Christ, 100. Think about that. Think how long eternity is. Is there a historian out there that can help me? How long ago was Moses around? Anybody know? Could anybody off the top here, any theologians out there, tell me how long ago Moses sent down the Ten Commandments? It doesn't matter whether you can or not. Certainly thousands and thousands of years. But wait a minute. What happened before Moses? Where did Moses even learn a language? And what was that language? And who created that language? And unfortunately, we go into schools today and they teach us an anti-Christian history, a history without God. And then we're surprised when we lose the anointing of God or the blessings of God or the the wisdom of God when we teach kids. Come on, Paul, you know I'm telling you the truth. From kinder, you can go to from kindergarten until a PhD and never hear the first thing about Christ. Would anybody disagree with that? And our whole foundation, our whole country built upon Christianity. What was that, Craig? Let me pull that. You just put a moat message in there. Craig's always all over it. 3,400 years ago was Moses. So if we look today, just look at where we are today. You do know this, don't you? That the lefties, call them whatever you want to, the righties, you can do whatever. We can look at the same thing and see, I can look at the same thing and see the miracle working hand of God. And a lefty can look at the same thing and deny the miracle working hand. You understand that, right? And somewhere along the line, we don't know how it happened, we gave the lefties control of education. And we wonder why we're in the. I'm going someplace today. Okay, now I'm not gonna play this whole video. But this, friends, is fascinating. Ask yourself this regarding history, Moses, Christianity, the Bible. Who told you that, and why do you believe him? Now, hang on again. Look, I am so confident in the truth of the Bible that I'm not afraid to ask questions about it. What if we don't have all the Bible? Is it okay for me to ask that, Ray? Is it okay for me to ask that? Hey, Spencer, let's see real quickly here, Spencer. I'll give you another $5. Extra biblical text. Just Google that, Spencer. Extra biblical texts. Some books. They're not in the Bible. What does it mean that something is extra biblical? Isn't this amazing how the Holy Spirit directs us here? Extra biblical texts are writings originating outside the accepted biblical canon, like the Book of Giants, the Book of Enoch. They were not accepted. I wonder if there's any political agendas back in those days. You suppose anybody got in power, like King James, got in power, and he determined what was going to be in the Bible? That he determined that? Hang in there with me. So the extra-biblical texts are writings originating outside the accepted. By who? Accepted by who? Accepted by who? By those who went to the right schools? Harvard? Yale, and they accepted. See, they also accept the fact that there isn't any God. You understand that, don't you? Okay, hang on. Encompassing ancient literature. What? Ancient. You mean there's history outside the Bible? Ancient literature that provides historical, cultural, or theological context to the Old and New Testaments. What? You mean there are other writings that confirm biblical teachings, but somebody decided that doesn't go in the Bible, but yet it's very, very historical. Am I doing okay, Ray? Am I doing okay here? Hey, who told you that and why do you believe it? Major examples include the apocryphal deuterocanonical books. Say they give you those big words so you don't know what the hell you're talking about. And the Gnostic Gospels and early church writings, these texts are generally not considered irrelevant by most Christians. By the way, hey, look, are you looking at me? You could go to a majority, maybe not a majority. You could go to a large swath of Americans who don't know anything about the Bible. And if they're the ones who write the history, somebody help me out here. If they're the ones who write the history, is Christianity going to be in the history books? So it seems to me that who controls the writings, pretty important. So here are some, this is, by the way, the Holy Spirit just gave me this, all right? Here are some extra biblical texts. Deuterocanonical books. Roman Catholic and Orthodox Bibles, written during the intertestament period. What? You mean there was a time when Christianity was being birthed and people were trying to understand it? Not everybody had a Bible. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have TV. They were getting little letters every once in a while and they're trying to put it all together. Come on, come back with me, real, to technology, what that must have been like, 6,000 years of technology that they had. They include the Tobit, Judith, 1st and 2nd Maccabees, Wisdom of Solomon, Ecclesiasticus, Barak, and additions to Daniel and Esther. And then there's ancient Jewish non-canonical writings, often apocryphal, or wisdom literature, Book of Enoch, Book of Jubilees, Testaments of 12 Patriarchs. There was the Dead Sea Scrolls, which is a vast collection of scrolls containing biblical manuscripts, some old, and they don't know how old they were. And there was also non-biblical community rules, commentaries, and hymns. In the New Testament, early Christian texts not included in the New Testament are Gospel of Thomas, 114 sayings of Jesus, Gospel of Judas, Gospel of Mary, the Acts of Paul, Theseia, I don't even know. Early church fathers of non-canonical early Christian writings like Didache, Shepherd of Hermas, Epistles of Clement. Huh? Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. Really? Really? Now, listen to me. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe it. Stand on it. Teach it. Try to act it. That doesn't mean that don't mean it's all there, folks. That don't mean who determined, hey, Spencer, that'd be a good Google search here. Who determined what would be in the Bible? King James Bible. Who determined what would be in the King James Bible? Because, right, Satan the deluder. Now, do you think Satan tried to maybe stop production of the Bible? You think maybe he'd like to influence that a little bit? Am I making some of you nervous yet? I'm not trying to make you nervous. I'm trying to make you think. Who told you that? Why do you believe it? The 66 books of the King James Bible was not decided by King James himself, but rather at the Scholarly Translation Committee. Did they have the internet back then? History? Look, stop. If you think I'm questioning the Bible, I'm not. Not trying to make you think. He commissioned it in 1604. Hey, Ray, you think they had tablets in 1604? Did they have Facebook and Google and Grandpa and Gookie? Did they have any of those things in 1604? Or what were these old boys working off of in 1604? You with me? Come on. It was decided in 1604, which relied heavily on existing Protestant traditions and Hebrew Greek manuscripts. Hey, how many Hebrew and Greek manuscripts do you suppose there were back in 1604? Libraries full of them, you suppose? Libraries in every town like there is today? Who told you that and why do you believe them? And Hebrew, Greek manuscripts, some of you are nervous. While they included the Apocrypha for historical reading, they largely followed the Reformed canon established in the 16th century, which solidified the 39-book Old Testament and 27-book New Testament. Hang on. Hey, somebody out there, somebody's a lot smarter than me. Somebody help me out. How long was it from creation to, what does it say? 1604. How much history was there from creation to 1604? Be a lot, wouldn't it? How much of it recorded? Oh, I know how they've done it. The fossil records. Well, who interpreted the fossil records? Was it a group of Christians? Or would you think that maybe, I could be wrong here, the majority of scientists are not Christians. And if they're not looking for God in their study, they ain't going to find God. If they're not looking for it. They think this is just am I doing okay? Are you guys with me what I'm talking about? Who told you that? Why do you believe them? I never did get my thing going over here. You guys got me so fired up. Hang on. Hey, Spencer, I know it's in there. Pull up number 10. Ken Hovind. You guys know Dr. Ken Hovind? Spencer, before you put that up there, go to his website, drdino.com. Dr. Dino. There it is. All the videos that you'd ever want to know on creation history. It's all free. I'm going to try to get Dr. Hovind. We know each other. I'm not dropping names. There's video after video after video after video on this website proving the God story. For those of you who don't know Dr. Hovind, he does a show all the time. Media. So that's where you can go. That's where he is down in Pensacola, Florida. By the way, we helped get him out of jail. That's another story. Okay, so here's Dr. Ken Hovind explaining Noah's flood. Now, hang on. See, you wouldn't look for this if you weren't looking for evidence of God. If you weren't looking for creation, you wouldn't find this. All right, if you're just looking at the fossil record, so Dr. Ken Hovind, play it. It's real short.
Lenox, Alabama, February 2026. You see the layers of gravel behind us? These layers of gravel go for 500 miles to North Carolina. That sounds incredible, but the world is spinning, and at this latitude, 31 degrees north, the water would go sideways at 900 miles an hour during Noah's flood. The moon pulls the water up, rushes in at 900 miles an hour, which means it makes a layer of this gravel from here to North Carolina in 35 minutes. Then it's calm for a couple hours when the tide's changing and the sand settles out, and then the clay, the gray stripes, and then you get another layer of gravel. All this is, each one is a different tide. All we see here is probably 3 days worth. You drilled for wells, same profile. Absolutely. Everywhere. Gravel, sand, clay.
Gravel, sand, clay in the Central Valley. Didn't matter how deep we went, we found rounded off rocks up to 1,000 to 1,200 feet down.
They call it river rock. From here to North Carolina, that'd be a pretty wide river. It's from the flood. You guys, give it up. There is no geologic column. I know that's your Bible. Throw it away. God's word is correct. The water from the flood made these layers. Here we
boom, huh? Now look, what is Dr. Hovind doing? He is looking at the science from a biblical perspective. What are they teaching in your kids' school? The biblical perspective or the atheistic perspective? There isn't any God. We're just random selection, random choice. A big bang went off, and here we are. It's all over me today. Bear with me. We take our kids, my grandkids. I showed you the systematic theology book yesterday. We take our little 5-year-old kids, we put them in school, public school, where they teach them there is no God. You're a man. Man's an active, random act. All the stuff you see created around you just kind of happened. And while you're doing Sunday school an hour a week talking about Noah's Ark, they're indoctrinating your child 5 days a week, 7 hours a day in atheism. If I was the devil, I would have formed public schools. I would have promoted public schools. And then not only that, I would have got people to pay for the public schools to teach children things that the parents didn't even believe. Is that going on? Somebody help me out. Is that going on? Is that going on?
Boom.
And so that's where we are. And that's why we're losing Christianity, because you look in Congress and hardly anybody in that Congress, hardly anybody coming from a biblical perspective. Okay, hang on. So that was Ken Hovind, right? Let's go to the history of the world. Is that what I want? Oh, I got so much stuff. Go to number 7. Go to number 7 and go to the 19-minute mark. I'm just trying to open your eyes. The society, the secret society that erased Tartaria from history. I don't know if you guys have done much research on Tartaria. I'm just going to play a couple minutes of this. It's 30 minutes and 53 seconds. Who told you that? And why do you believe him? Go ahead and play this. This is just randomly. We're picking it up right in the middle. They're talking about this prehistoric civilization called Tartaria. Go ahead.
As geographic knowledge improved, the term became obsolete and was replaced by more specific designations. Reasonable enough. Except that explanation doesn't account for the specificity in early sources, doesn't account for the detailed descriptions of political structures, trade routes, diplomatic relations.
It didn't have electricity!
For the architectural evidence, doesn't account for the timing of the erasure. When I press these academics with follow-up questions pointing out these inconsistencies, the response is changed. Not in content, in tone. They became defensive, dismissive. They suggested I was pursuing a conspiracy theory. They recommended I stick to reputable sources, by which they meant sources that supported the approved narrative. Here's what struck me. These were intelligent, educated people. They weren't lying. They genuinely believed what they were telling me. The system had trained them so effectively that they couldn't see the gaps in their own explanations. That's the real genius of this control structure. It doesn't require conspirators. It requires a methodology that becomes invisible to those who practice it. Now we get to what might be the most important part of this investigation.
Hang on a minute. Freeze it a what second. Freeze it a second. You understand that you come into people who think they have wonderful public schools. You know that, don't you? Granville, Ohio, just up the hill where Denison University is, they think they have the greatest public schools, and they are the most atheistic schools in America. But yet they've convinced the citizenry that they have great public schools. Are the public schools teaching the truth, or are the public schools teaching what somebody somewhere wanted them to be taught? We hand it down from generation to generation to generation. It's good, isn't it? Put this in the chat. You want to spend some good time today? Watch this video. Watch that video. Let me give you another one.
Actually, hang lost.
No. Okay. How about this one? Pull up number 9. Did I do that one? Pull up number 9, Spence. I think maybe I just. Okay. I never did get to this. I never did get to that. Truth. Oh my goodness. The origin of humans and human societies. This is from the Khan Academy, okay? Just play a little bit of this.
Anatomically modern human beings have been on this planet for roughly 200,000 years. And even though that's a small fraction of the amount of time the Earth has been around, which is over 4 billion years, on a human scale, it's an incredibly long amount of time. Just to put it in perspective, if this is present time, if you wanted to put, when was the Roman Empire? Well,
watch
talking
up at the
about
top now.
2,000 years ago, it would show up on our timeline.
Roman
right
Empire,
about,
freeze it.
Right about
Well, so right at the top, right above that that scroll, you see a little red dot. Point that, Spencer. Yes, folks. That's how far back in history you're talking about. Okay, so follow that little red dot as it progresses. Because over here on this side is where we are today. And look about all this history we don't know anything about. Go ahead.
We've had writing. About 5,000 years is our current best estimate. Once again, it barely shows up on this timeline. How long have we had agriculture? Well, 10 to 15,000 years. Once again, it's a small fraction of this. Another way to think about it, think about all of our ancestors, the various generations that have passed since the first emergence of the first appearance of anatomically modern human beings. This is over 6,000 or 7,000 generations into the past. Think about all of the stories that must have happened.
Okay,
a lot of simple things.
Put in the chat.
Look,
this is atheistic. This isn't biblical. What they're teaching you right here isn't biblical. And they're admitting how far history goes back to where they don't even really know. Nobody was writing things down. They didn't have a common language. All that, they called them Neanderthals, right? Folks, we don't know. We don't know. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Pull that up there, Spencer, Genesis 1. In the beginning, I want you to see it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was void and without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. How long a period was that? In the beginning, how long was that? The earth was void and without form. How long was that? Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So if I'm reading this right, Genesis is telling us there was a lot of time here. A lot of time here on this earth when darkness is all around and the Spirit of God came and light came. Because why? God said, let there be light. And there was light. How much time was there before he said, let there be light? We don't know, do we? I'm not trying to make you an atheist. I'm trying to get you to think. All this happened. Time. And we don't know anything about it other than what they tell us in our history books. And if you were to go back in American history, American, hey, Ray, you look smart. You're on my screen, so I'll see you. Ray, you're smart. When did Columbus sail the ocean blue?
Well, that would be 1492.
1492. Okay. When did the pilgrims come to America?
Well, 1620 is one date you could use.
1620. 1492. 1620, a generation and a half before the pilgrims ever got here? Do we have any history of that? Of that time period? Wait a minute. But the pilgrims, where'd they come from? Why, they came from England. Wow, how long was England there? Oh, long time. Who told you that? And why do you believe them? And here's where we are. Craig says 10 generations. 10 generations. I'm 73, I think I am. Just turned. And I was talking to somebody the other day about when I was coaching at London in way back 1990. How long ago was that? 1990. And what will the history books say about that time from 1990 to where we are today? Who is documenting that? Okay. Are you tracking with me today? Who told you that, and why do you believe him? Why do you believe him? I believe the Bible. Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. But that's not the whole story, is it? The pilgrims landed Cape Cod November 11th, 1620. Wait a minute. Whoa. You mean there was 1,620 years before Englishmen showed up in America? If I read that right, at least 1620 in recorded history on the Julian calendar. We don't know how much history was here before that. Tartaria, all that. Wow. And how long has it been since there? 1620 today. Somebody do math real quick. 2025. 1620, be 400 some years, wouldn't it? Just so we recorded history just here in America. And we claim the experts tell us from looking at fossils. We're fools, aren't we? Hang on, one more thing. I'm sorry. I've gone somewhere. No. Poem number 9. I'm going to open it up. I'm trying to build your faith. Truth about human evolution. What fossils really say? Hey, folks. Fossils don't tell you nothing. They don't tell you nothing. You understand that? The fossil record's not a neat, complete story. Is that right? Yet you're telling this. This is how all of history evolved, but it's not a neat, complete story. Huh? It's a puzzle with gaps and contradictions that scientists continue to solve. Really? In this article, we will dive deep into what fossils really tell us about human evolution. Hey. You can walk out in this field right beside my house. And you can look for an arrowhead. And you might find one. But you're going to find a lot of other rocks. You're going to find a lot of stuff that you're going to ignore because you'd be looking for an arrowhead. And so these guys with the fossil record, they're looking for evidence to match what they already hypothesize. Do you understand? It's all a lie. The fossil record, understanding evolution. Let's go down real quick. The fossil record. A fossil record? What are you talking about? A patchwork of clues. They're teaching all world history based on a patchwork of clues, their own words. They tell us about the early primates, the dawn of our ancestors. They don't know. They take fossils. Australopithecus, our first bipedal ancestors. You really think that some scientists here today, or let's go back 20 years before we had the computers, do you think any scientist sitting here today could go back and find some at the beginning of bipedal, when people began to walk on their feet rather than all fours? You really think anybody can go back and show you that? Come on. Oh, Homo habilis, the first tool makers. You're telling me they can go back? They know when that guy dropped that tool there. They know when. Come on. Homo erectus. Oh, that's when we started to walk upright 100,000 years ago. Scrolling down. We've been told such a lie. Neanderthals are our close relatives. By the way, who created the Neanderthals? And then lo and behold, we evolved and out came modern humans. And we're so modern and advanced that we kill our offspring in the womb. We've advanced. Go on, scroll down. Folks, ain't none of this. This is all guess. All of it. All of it's a guess. They don't know. What fossils can't tell us? And then the unfinished story. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go on for 39 minutes. This is so important for us to understand. That question again, who told you that and why do you believe it? Think of the lies that they're telling children in schools just in your lifetime. How history has changed just in your lifetime. Can you imagine over 6,000 years? They tell us 6,000. Fossil record tells us 6,000. Wasn't anybody there? Nobody knows. Come on in, Mary Beth. Mel, we'll get to you here in a second. Go ahead, Mary Beth. Somebody reinforce me. Somebody make me feel, say, Coach, this is really good. Would somebody make me feel good? Say, Coach, this is really good.
Coach, it's good. Okay, it's good thanks. And it's true, and other people are not going to believe it. But, and my one point, and I wish I had a picture, but when our plows go by and plow the snow, and then you go by again, and then when they plow the snow, you see the layer upon layer upon layer, and I say, there is my against evolution, my thesis against evolution.
It doesn't even make sense. Evolution doesn't even make sense, right? It doesn't even make sense. My phone's blowing up here. Oh, Mel, did you want to talk about this, or do you want to talk about the initiative?
I have a couple of announcements, and I want to talk about this. So do you want me to talk about this, do the announcements, or both?
Talk about this right now.
Okay. So when you started your comments this morning, you were talking about the King James Bible and who decided. So the research that I've done is that in the Babylonian captivity, the Jews were separate. They were taken out of their homeland. They spoke ancient Hebrew at that time, but they lost their language during that time. And so their language became either Aramaic or Greek. So we can see evidence of this in the Aramaic Targums and also in the Greek Septuagint. Mm. Now, when in the first century, there were two groups of people. There were the Christians and there were the Pharisees. The Christians were reading the Septuagint, and the Masoretic text, or what we use as the King James Bible, didn't exist yet. But so we have these two groups of people. So you have to ask yourself, what? If it's the Christians and the Pharisees, what would the Pharisees maybe not want to see in the Bible? So then you start to compare the Septuagint and the Masoretic. And Coach, I know that that I've been doing that. Yes. So, and all of our modern Bibles are based on the Masoretic text. So you just have to do the research. I'm not telling anybody what to believe on that. And then you talk about Tartaria. There's a lot of information out there about Tartaria. And I originally started, looking at Tartaria, but then I read a book that asked the question, is it Tartaria or is it the millennial reign? And I know that would be controversial thought or a controversial question in this group. However, you think about it, it's, free energy, it's healing. These are buildings that we could never create today with all of our modern tools and our advances. There's no way that back in that time, based on what we understand as history, those buildings could have even been built. So there had to have been something supernatural about that.
Certainly, we don't understand this, but electric, how long have we had electric? I'm 150 or however. You mean to tell me electric is the only energy source? We know that's not true, right? We just got electric, and we like electric. We use electric, but we got atomic energy. We got water. We have all kinds of energy, right? But we are electric because that's the way we've been trained to think. Mark Trump, am I making sense, Mark?
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, sure.
And then you go into the world fairs and things, and like they say that these buildings were created in a matter of months. And then they were destroyed afterwards. Like, that just makes no sense. But it was to destroy all of these ancient buildings. And we still see them around. I mean, if you have eyes to see and if you're willing to ask questions outside of your programming, there's just a lot that's right in front of our eyes.
Amen. Mel, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was void and without form. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. I believe all that stuff. But I think we're getting a lot of atheistic history given to us. So that's my point. Energy. Steve's talking about energy, right? There's free energy. We just don't understand it, right? We don't understand it because of what we've been programmed to believe.
And if it was dark and void, if there was no light, that would create a lot of ice, I think. And so then you have to think, well, we study in our history about the ice age and that there was ice at one point. If there was no sun and no light, and it was dark and void, it would be cold.
Oh, my goodness. That darkness would be built upon the face of the deep. By the way, Mel, we will kick that off. I don't want to do that now. Let's kick it off tomorrow, the initiative. Let's kick it off tomorrow, okay?
I just wanted to mention that, and also the gathering this Saturday at the
go ahead and mention that. We are have a gathering this Saturday, Mel. What time and where? You sent an email.
It's 1:30 to 5 p.m. 1:30 to 5 p.m.
And contact Glenn. His contact information is there on the website.
Yeah, come and hang out with us. If you're anywhere close, come and hang out with us. Amen. Amen. This is so deep, man. This is so deep. Adam, come on in. Then Craig.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I don't know.
Hey, Adam, hang on. Adam. I want you to know that what I'm doing right now has deepened my faith. It's deepened my faith. This is not, folks, I'm telling you, I'm not afraid to say, you know, that may not be true. That may not be true. I'm not afraid to say that biblically. That may not be true. Because why? People write history. Right? Huh? I want you to know my belief and my faith in Christ has never been deeper than it is right now. Go ahead, Adam.
Thanks, Coach. And I agree with you. I'm not sure if you ever heard of what's called the Egyptian Dendera light bulb, but they actually have archaeological evidence, and it's even in hieroglyphs, that the ancient Egyptians had their own source of light. They had their own light bulbs that they would illuminate the pyramids with. So we know.
But hang on a second, Adam. When were the Egyptians? When would that have been?
Thousands of years ago.
Okay, keep going.
So if you ask Spencer to just go up on and type in Dendera, D-E-N-D-E-R-A, light bulb, you can see the pictures of the hieroglyphs of it. And if you go into images and scroll down, they've even made mock versions of it that actually light up. So we know that it works.
Dendera, Spencer, D-E-N-D-A-R-Y?
It's D-E-N-D-E-R-A.
Dendera. Dendera light bulb. Dendera is a series of stone reliefs in Temple of Hathor in Egypt that some fringe theories interpret as ancient electrical light bulbs. Are you kidding me? Keep going on. Keep going, Adam.
That's all I wanted to say, Coach. There is a plethora of evidence that the so-called ancient people from thousands of years ago were uneducated knuckleheads and didn't know anything, and we're the enlightened ones because we have electricity and plumbing and all that. And they had that back then.
That's right. Not only that, the mound builders, they want to tell us around here, right, that the Indians with scoops built all these mounds around here. That's what they want to. Oh, not Genesis 6. Couldn't have been those giants. No, in no way, right? No. I'm telling you. Oh, boy. Okay, Craig.
I was just going to ask Mel a question, maybe. So in your research, I got a question for you. When Ezra, right, he came back and he took the writings basically from Moses and he redid that, okay. What's your view on that with the Hebrew Masoretic and then the Greek? What do you think about that?
You're asking Mel, not me.
Yes, I'm asking Mel. Has any idea, elaborate more on that. She might have walked away.
So. She might have. So listen. Does it sound like I'm attacking the Bible? Because I don't want you, I'm not doing that at all.
Here's my point and all that, Coach. And I agree. I've done, looked at these, you have to look at it all. You know, you can't rely, you know, you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Salvation was done on the cross, so you don't got to worry about that one.
Right.
But now the fear and trembling is, you know, how much do you want to be, you know, brilliant? How much do you want to, you know, see the, you know, the thing is the essence of what we need to do and how we need to live. You know, if God hasn't given us that, then I'm not sure he can hold us accountable. But the point I was talking about is this is where timelines are important. Okay, because when Ezra came back, all right, Alexander the Great wasn't even born. Okay. Alexander the Great, all right, was in the 300s. Okay, so what did they bring back? You know, when they brought that second temple back, you know, and they made it and they were like, man, this doesn't look like anything like the previous one. And Nehemiah, you know, he built the wall and all this kind of stuff. All right, I would think that would probably, you know, that would be a pretty important text. I don't think God would, you know, have that done. So if that was done before a lot of these done and it was interpreted into Greek, all right, later, all right, which one has the higher authority? That's my question in it. I would think, you know, maybe the latter, not that there's not truth, but you said about the deluder, right? What does the deluder always want to do? He wants to go back to the garden. Did God really say? He didn't question God. He just questioned what did he say and what is the veracity behind what he said?
Craig, I'd like to just do a history on football. How'd football begin? Who came up with that idea of football and making the ball oblong and rules? Who came up with that? Somebody created that sport and it evolved, did it not? But there has to be a creator. There was a creator. But the whole story of how it evolved, that can be open to interpretation, can it not be? Mm-hmm. Come on, folks.
Well, let me just elaborate one more thing about your earlier presentation there about the deluder. Where did that happen at? Massachusetts. Okay, it didn't happen down in Virginia. Okay, but 1607 was Jamestown. Why did the deluder happen in Massachusetts? Well, it's because when you went to Plymouth Rock, right, that was the Mayflower Compact, okay? Because that was ground zero for the bringing of Christ into North America.
Yep.
And when we went to Salem, Massachusetts, Steve Deck, myself, and I forget the lady's name, if Steve's in there, we went...
Bernadette.
We went to Salem, Massachusetts. Why? Because that's the home of the Satanic Temple. That's their headquarters. In a home that was formerly a funeral home, okay, of all things, right? Because you know what? When we did that, and we did that back in the 2023, I realized this is ground zero where the deluder, where Satan began to detract and get into the church and do that. And I think he accused the Puritans of these witch trials to delude their obedient following of scriptures.
Can you believe the government back then, Craig, passed a law about Satan the deluder? Folks, that shows how far we've fallen, doesn't it?
Well, here's the God wink in all this here, Coach. Okay, so you remember when we were at the Georgia Guidestones in 1620, I made a whole big deal about the Mayflower Compact. I brought it down. I posted it on the Four Corners.
Yep.
We all read it. We all reaffirmed it. Do you know when Salem, Massachusetts was basically incorporated and by who? It was by the Puritans in 1626. So guess what? We're on another 400-year cycle this year in 2026. That's part of what's going on in the spiritual battle over our nation.
It's all spiritual. Wow, Craig. Got my head spinning. Vinny.
Hey, I'll make your head spin here, Coach. 1860 is the first evidence of the reset of society. If you remember,
1860.
Yep, remember the video, the lost history of flat Earth.
Right.
Remember how it begins? It begins with desolate cities in Europe, completely desolate, then goes to the orphan trains.
Mm.
Right. This whole thing is obvious to us once we figure out what's going on. One thing I think we can do, we can look into these Epstein files for evidence of that, rather than these stupid sexual peccadilloes that they're trying to poison society with.
Amen. Amen, Vinny. Brett, come on in.
Good morning, Coach. Good morning, team. Morning. So I'm going back to the three main pyramids that were being talked about here a while ago about the light bulbs and everything. And just like hundreds and thousands of other lies were being told, Vinny kind of alluded to this a little bit just in that conversation, but those pyramids, those three main pyramids on the Gaza Plateau were built pre-flood. Nothing to do with the Egyptians.
Oh boy.
Nothing. And I think eventually that's going to come out. But the architect, the lead archaeologist back in the 70s and 80s, that's what he came out with. And he was never allowed back on back in Egypt again after that.
Oh.
Three textbooks he wrote, and I read all three of them, and his finding is pre-flood and electrical generation. Maybe.
Folks.
Hey, Coach. Thousands of lies were told every day.
Every day. Hey, folks, I'm holding in my hand a cell phone. You're listening by a computer here right now. I'm right now, Brett's in Pennsylvania. I'm instantaneously speaking with Brett. I speak, he hears it. Not only does he hear it, Betty hears it. And Vinny hears it. Steve Deck hears it. And Glenn hears it. Craig hears it. And Tammy. Folks, that energy, that power was always there. We just didn't know it.
Boom.
What other power is there that we still don't know? That we're not aware of? Supernatural Holy Spirit power. Huh? How can I hit my phone and Vinny get a message from me? How does that happen? Huh? Boom, like that. Something's happening here. Mary Beth, your hand's still up. Do you want to come back? No, she didn't. Okay, that's cool. She's trying to get everybody. Greg, Trent hasn't been in. And George, you get hurry up there, two of you. Trent and
George. Yeah, Coach. Okay, so it's even deeper than that. And that's how we got to see the supernatural. That's I mean, right. They are, you are doing a cell phone call or you are operating a robot in the bottom of a basement through concrete steel walls from the sky, from another device. The first thing that I wanted to say, though, Coach, what is being hidden from us? Because when you stick two rods into a potato with the copper wire to the little thingy-majig and it turns on a light bulb, but we haven't advanced that, you know, ourselves since elementary school.
Trent,
come on now.
They don't want us informed, do they? The old deluder Satan act, baby. The old deluder Satan. George Howard, come on in. And then Kimberly, quickly.
Welcome to the power of the ether.
Boy, oh boy.
Free.
Free. It's that energy's out there, folks. It's out there. My goodness. Amen. Amen. Kimberly.
Yeah, I'm following up along with that ether concept. I think most everybody knows I'm dealing with this targeting and the microwaves. Mm-hmm. And I got a Tesla machine. It's finally at the very beginning of November. And I started using it and my targeting exponentially has gotten worse. They really? Do everything they can to keep me off of that Tesla machine. Literally, because I know that when I can walk the few steps into the room where I've got it set up and just spend 15 minutes on it, the healing is obvious.
Mm.
And then they attack me. I mean, the burning, it's unbelievable what they've been doing to me since the beginning of November when I got that machine. There's no mistaking. It's shocking. And it's Amen. Plasma that's pulling from the ether in the atmosphere.
Okay, it's so Kimberly, this is important, folks. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? Time, space, matter. We have to understand that we are locked into a time, space, and matter continuum. And that there is something outside of this because God was outside time. And God is not made up of matter, time, space, matter. God is not limited by space. It's the area that we are in that is limited. Because why? That's the way that he created it. But if we could ever open our eyes and understand and see what's really going on around us and what we are trapped in and what is available to us, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, we have been so programmed. We've so been so mistaught. We have been so lied to. Who told you that? And why do you believe them? See you tomorrow.